of reverence and adoration for a deity, which is God, right? Honor given to someone in recognition of their merit, used in addressing or referring to an important or high-ranking person. Amen. If you could turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we're going to begin at verse 9. John chapter 4, verse 9. Now we're kind of starting in the middle. So Jesus had come and he was going to go to Galilee, but he had to pass through Samaria and he's at the well. I know many of you know the story. It's the woman that Jesus meets at the well. So verse 9, it says, "The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans.' And Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gifts of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given living water.' 'Sir,' the woman said, 'you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?' And Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life.'" We're gonna jump down to verse 19. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and truth." So you see, I had to show you the video of That's My King because I wasn't sure if we were on the same page. And I just wanted to lay it out because, like this woman, Jesus said, "You worship what you don't know." They had heard of him. They knew the rituals that they went through. But he said, "You worship what you don't know. But we worship what we do know." So I worship a God that I know. I worship the God that was described here, the God that is described in the scripture. That's the God that I worship. That's the God that I know. So in order to worship, we have to know what it is, who it is we are worshiping for our worship to be true. Because if you don't understand who the person is, it's like going before a king or before the president. There's things you have to do. You have to know who he is, right? If you didn't know that was the president or that was the queen of England or something, you just walk up to them. You don't really know them, right? But you have to know him. And in order to know him, you have to read the word and be in prayer. And that's how you're going to grow deeper. So what does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth, right? It says a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. So we're going to kind of break that up. Spirit, the non-physical part of a person that is the seat of emotions and character, the soul. Okay, so I have to worship in spirit. I have to worship for my soul, right? Why? Because it says that God is spirit, right? And his worshipers must worship him in spirit. Because God is spirit. It's a spirit-to-spirit connection, I like to say. It's not me. I have to get past my flesh, and I have to go deeper. I think Pastor might have said this last Sunday, but it's more than my words that I'm saying. It's something deeper that God brings me in, right? We can't stand before God, right? Even though Jesus came and he died and we're forgiven, even when we get to heaven, guess what? These bodies stay behind because they're not worthy to stand before him. So if my body is not worthy to stand before him in heaven, guess what? My body is not worthy to stand before him here either. It's my spirit because he dwells. dwells within me. So that's the connection. He lives in me, so I'm still connected to him. So I have to get to a deeper place of worship, and that's when you will reach true worship, right? It's spirit to spirit. There's an actual point during worship when you get to that place of worshiping in your spirit, and now you are able to enter the Holy of Holies. And if you've never experienced this, you may think, oh yeah, I worship, I come and sing. But you know, there's a point where you can tell that you have switched from my body worshiping, my mouth, my hands, to, okay, I'm in. I'm at the throne room of God. I don't care who's around me. I don't even see who's around me, because it's just me and him. And it's my spirit that's connecting to him. That's when he could speak to me. That's when I can speak to him and pour out my heart. That's when he can begin to do things. You see, people think worship is just, oh, we have to sing a few songs and then get to the word. That's what's important. No, God moves in the word, because he's been there through the worship, because we've given him the honor, we've given him the praise to come down and sit. So now when the word is spoken, now he can go out because he's here. Or pastor has to stand here and kind of push you because, all right, the worship, nobody was really singing, nobody was really worshiping, their hearts were intact. So it's like a push. I could tell you, it's a push. It's hard to do because we need God here. It's his presence. Every time something happened, right? The walls of Jericho fell. Who was sent out? The worshipers were sent out. They had to walk around silently, and the seventh time they gave a shout, right? It was through the worship that God brought down those walls. Amen. We cannot stand before God because we are sinful, right? It's our flesh. But when we come before him with our spirit, which is where the Holy Spirit resides, we are now able to stand before God. And I know in worship, sometimes you guys don't understand why we're up there and we're pushing you. And I feel like I'm a cheerleader sometimes. Come on, guys, let's go. Let's say hallelujah. It's because I want you to get to that place. If you guys, it was funny, me and Sam, we were in the Bronx on Friday night. He had a practice at this church, because I think their youth are doing a worship service this weekend, and he's helping out with that. And at the end, the pastor came up, and it was so funny because you see the leaders, they're like, raise your hand, you know, close your eyes, like trying to prepare them. And it's like you're coaching. And something the pastor said at the end, and I was like, ooh, Sam, I'm going to use that. He said to them, he was like, you know what? Nobody's going to have to coach you to worship. They're not going to tell you, raise your hands. They're not going to say, oh, say amen, or jump up and down, or just worship, open your mouth and say something, right? If, when you come in that day, you're already saying, I'm coming into worship. Your heart is already prepared, saying, I'm coming into worship God. That's why I'm coming. I'm not coming for a social event. I'm not coming to be the show. I'm not coming to be the entertainment. I'm not coming because that's what I always do. I'm coming to worship God. That is why we come to church. It's to worship God. It's to hear the word. And God has set apart this day because sometimes during the week, we don't have time. So he's saying, it's Sunday. You set apart that time. Let it out. You haven't been able to let it out. Let it out. Worship me. Praise me. Honor me and see what I'm going to do. But we don't get there because when we walk through those doors, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a show. We're looking to feel good. We're looking to do other things after church. We're looking because that's what I've done every Sunday. And God says that's not where your heart should be. When you walk through those doors, it's to say, this day is the day that the Lord has made. This day I will rejoice and be glad in it. When you walk in, you have to be in the mindset that this day is of God, that this time I'm expecting something amazing. When I walk through that door and say, God, I'm expecting you to show up. God, I know you are going to show up in this place. When I walk through that door, it's not because I want to see my brother or my sister. It's because I want to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we need to wake up, church, because God is calling time for his worshipers to arise. And if you don't worship, you can sit down and let a rock take your place. But I choose to worship my true King. I choose to give him all the glory and the honor because I know who I serve, because my word tells me that he is awesome, that he's amazing, that he is jealous. You don't give him your worship and he is jealous. Do you understand what that means? It's like you're dating somebody and you're looking at somebody else, and God's like, you're dating me, but you're still looking at the world. And he says, I want all of you. I want all of your heart. I want all of your worship. I want you to get off that computer. I want you to get off that phone and put it away. I want you to stand up and praise me, because that is how we usher in his presence. That is how we usher in the coming of the Lord. Because when the Lord comes, there's going to be a great revival, and it's going to be worship, because he comes. He comes and he waits, and it's with a trumpet sound. Yeah. Amen. A trumpet sound of music. Yeah. It's music. It's a trumpet that declares his coming. He says, worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth is sincerity in action, character, and utterance. I love how it lists those three things: action, character, and utterance. Action, what I do. Character, who I am. Utterance, what my words are saying, what I'm speaking. So I can't be worshiping in truth if my hands are in the air, right? But my utterance, I'm speaking to the person next to me, what's for lunch, right? That's not worshiping in truth. Or I could be worshiping in utterance, saying, yeah, God, thank you, Jesus, but my heart is not there, right? Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserves. Romans 12, 1-2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. God knows your heart. And he knows our intentions. And you could fool me on a Sunday, but you don't fool God. You could fool me with your tears and your hands in the air and you're jumping up and down, but God knows the heart. God knows the heart. Isaiah 29:13 says, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. Now, we teach people to worship, right? Sometimes you come in, you're new, you don't understand what worship is. So there is a teaching, but there's a place and a time where it comes back what you've been taught to that relationship that I have, right? Worship in our house growing up was so important. Everybody in our house sang or played an instrument. It was kind of like, if you didn't, how are you part of our family? One of my nieces, she hates music. She can't sing. She's a missionary in Nicaragua, so God has called her in ministry. But we were kind of like, where did you come from? Because everybody could sing. Everybody could play an instrument. You had to. That's what you did. But her dad's a music teacher, too. So he kind of forced it on her, and she's like, I don't like it. But it was something that we were taught, right? And my parents were strict, right? We didn't watch anything that wasn't either Disney or Focus on the Family that was mailed to us every 2 weeks. It was a Christian company. My husband will tell you, he'll be like, did you see this? I'm like, no. He's like, it's like 50 years old. I'm like, not allowed to watch that, right? But it was something that we learned in our household growing up, right? We weren't allowed to listen to music that wasn't Christian unless it was country. It was Christian or country in our house. But like old school country, none of this new stuff. But I remember sometimes, you know, we'd like to fool around with the songs, and me and my sister, we'd be cleaning dishes, and we'd be singing, but like really funny, kind of just mocking the song. Oh no, that didn't even fly in my house. My parents let us know, if you're singing the song, It's a worship song. That means you're singing to Jesus, right? And you do not mock that. That's how serious. And I thank them for it because it made me realize that the words I'm speaking, they matter, right? The things I'm uttering with my mouth, it matters. So if I'm trying to sing the song like Donald Duck, it's not really giving God the glory and honor. Really, it's just a distaste, right, in his nostrils, in his mouth, because I'm not giving him the honor that he deserves. So they taught us, if you're going to worship, then you're truly going to worship. And that's when it taught me what it meant in spirit and in truth. It wasn't just because they told me, okay, lift your hands. It wasn't, all right, now we're going to pray or we're going to do Bible study at home. It was something that had to come from within, from my moments in my bedroom praying, from the times when I would hear God's voice and share it with the family. That's how you train them up. So many times you'll see, I give my daughter the death stare when I'm on the altar, when I'm worshiping. I do. She will tell you. He'll tell you too. If I see her and she's talking or she's on the phone, I look at her. I don't know if you guys notice, but I do. I'm like, I zero in. And she knows, like, if she has a phone in her hand, put it down. If she's talking to somebody, even for the children, worship time is worship time. We're supposed to train them. I don't want to hear that they're bored during worship, because if they're bored, then guess what? You need to have a heart check with them and say, why is it that we worship? It's because God is here, or we want God to be here, right? Even the youth, fact check, you were created to worship too. He doesn't say you start worshiping when you're 30 years old. No, out of the womb, you're created to worship. That's what you were created for. And if we keep giving our children and our youth excuses, sure, you can sit down, I know you're tired, you can sleep during that no, God wants to work in them. How is he going to use them to share their visions, to share the words that God gives them, if we let them just sit there and play on their cell phones, right? We are accountable for their actions. They're not too young. That's when we start. Obviously, you can't sit them through a 3-hour service. Sometimes they get tired, we understand. But if there isn't some training, some teaching going on, all right, even Hannah at prayer, you need to pray for 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, you pray? Okay. I understand you're little, you're young, you can't pray for an hour, but you're going to give God 10 minutes before you get onto your phone or your tablet. You have to set a priority. You have to teach them. We have to teach people what worship is about. You want to have to worship. Amen. You want to have to worship. It can't be, like I said, we can't be cheerleaders. I walked in this morning and Danielle was practicing, and she was practicing the song Unstoppable. I got so excited because the song I was just listening to before I came in, and I was like, oh, I really wish we could sing this song in church. So I walk in and I'm like, yes, we're singing that song today. I love it. When you worship at home and in your quiet time and the music in the car is worship, and when you're at work and you're worshiping, it does something, right? It changes you. It gets your heart ready. It gets us prepared. And God, he's brought us to such a freedom in worship. We talk about that all the time, Pastor, where God is really, really just, he wants more. You think we've brought it to the max. No, God is like, all right, more. Because I want every single person in this church. And I see you guys. I get to stand up there, right? I see y'all. And God is calling some of you and he's saying, I want more. You guys are, some people, you know, they go to this worship service here or there, and you're like, it's great. And I'm just like, okay, but I don't see you worshiping at our church. I don't understand. I understand it's great, but if you're going for a show, if you're going to be entertained, I'm sure it's great. I could go for a show, but our service is just as great if you want to enter in. Our service, it could be 10 times more if you want to enter in, if you're willing to say, I'm not looking at Sister Catherine or Brother Sam. I want to come and give God my all. I want to come and do it. I want to sing to God. I want God to move, because when we worship, God moves. Amen. We saw what God did this morning. We were worshiping. We were worshiping. And God was here because when our praises go up, right, they say the praises go up, the glory comes down because we're giving him the praise. We're giving him the honor. So we're saying, God, come on down. We want you to dwell with us. We understand you're holy. We understand you're worthy. So we're going to praise you. Can you come sit with us, God? Can you come do a new thing, oh God? Oh God, I understand that I have wants and desires, but I understand that you're holy and I need to give you praise before I even ask anything, right? Even in the breakdown of how to pray, it says, right, we give thanks first before I even ask of anything. I have to give him thanks and acknowledge who he is. It's like your kids coming up to you. Can I have $5? Can I have $5? What have you done for $5, right? How about maybe even a please? Because at some point they even stop saying please, right? Can I have $5? What happened to please? What happened to thank you after that? Or what have you done, right? When we go to God, it's not just, God, can I have a new job? God, can you straighten out my husband? God, no. He's like, all right, let me write the list. We have to go to him and worship. And through that worship, he also stirs our hearts to what his heart says, to what his desires are. And usually when the enemy attacks, the first thing he attacks is your worship. Because he knows how mighty it is. He knows that when you worship, God is able to do something to that situation. I just wanted to share a quick story before Sam comes up and closes it out. But I'm always like debating sharing the story. Me and Sam we went through a journey in 2015. And God, you know, we shared it with like the intercessors and our close family. And we went through IVF. We went through, still chokes me up. We were unable to conceive on our own, so we went to the doctors, and they said we had this issue and that issue. And we found out that our medical insurance covered 3 rounds, right, of IVF. If you don't know what that is, it's in vitro fertilization. So I have to take like 6 shots a day. So I'm poking myself with needles every day, like 6 times, so I'm like boosted with all these hormones. So if I was crazy in 2015, I'm sorry, guys, it really wasn't my fault. But I was boosted up with all these hormones, right, to make all these eggs so then they could take them out and connect them to make the embryos, right? So I did that, and we were praying. We're like, God, this must be of you because, you know, we get 3 tries and most insurances don't cover it. So we were so excited, right? So they collected the eggs, and they're like, oh, great, you have 11, which is really good. And they grade them, and they give you the grades of your qualities, and they were all good. So the first time we go, and we put 2 in. So we're like, oh, great, we're going to have twins, right? And it's so cool because during this process, you see how great God is. They show you the picture. I have the pictures of my embryos. I call them they're still my babies. People are like, they're not even anything. I'm like, those are together. They're an embryo. They're created. They're my babies. So they show them to you, and I'm like, oh, that one has curly hair. You can't see anything. It's a little circle, guys. You really can't. But I got so excited, and they put them in, and I'm like walking around slowly, and, you know, you have to act as if, you know, you're pregnant, because at that moment you are until you're not. So I remember you have to wait for 2 weeks, and me and Sam were worshiping. I'm coming to church on Sunday. You guys know nothing. Some mornings I would literally have to go to the doctor and then come here and lead worship. So it was a struggle. It was all the way out in Paramus. So I'd drive to Paramus, drive back to church, get up on stage, do that, and in my mind I'm like, oh, if they only knew, like, I'm worshiping because I believe I have a great God. And it came back that it was negative, right? So they didn't stick, and, you know, my heart was so torn. And it was funny because Sam was supposed to go on a men's retreat. And I remember that day I found out, and he had to, you know, speak to Antonio and say, you know, he couldn't go. And I was torn apart, guys, right? As Daniele was singing that song, "It Is Well With My Soul," what kept coming to me is, some people, it's not well with your soul. And you have to know, sometimes that's going to happen. But you have to remember to cling back on, right? At that parts of my life, it wasn't well with my soul. I was aching. I was breaking, right? So I was like, all right, we're going to do it again. I have one more, because out of the 11, only three survived, right? Because it's a process and they only live so long. So I only had three. So I had one more chance. And I was praying, and I remember Sam holding my hand in the while we were waiting to go into the surgeon OR. And he was praying, and he's like, God, even if it doesn't work, we're going to praise you anyway. Even if this doesn't work, even if this, you know, these things that the doctor's doing doesn't work, we're going to praise you. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to praise you. But I know it's going to work, right? I'm going to praise you because I know it's going to work. So I went in, and they did it, and this was 2 weeks before Christmas. And they kept asking me, are you sure you want to do it now? Are you sure? I'm like, yes, I just want to get it done. So I went and did it done, got it done. And Christmas Eve, December 24th, they called me in 2015, and they said it didn't work. And I was like, now I understand why they didn't want me to do it, because it's Christmas. I have, like, to be joyful. And I sank into such a depression. I didn't want to come to church. I didn't want to worship God because I was like, God, I've been doing this and I've been worshiping you through it. You know, they always say worship God during it and after it and before it, and that's what I was doing, and I didn't understand. And I sank in, and Sam, actually one Sunday, he's like, that's enough. He came home after Sunday school, and he picked me up. He's like, you're going to church, because I had missed two Sundays, and I was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to be there. And there might be times in your life where you don't want to worship because the pain is so thick that you're just like, how can I worship? I can't say anything because I'm angry, right? And some of the intercessors came and they prayed for me. And it was just such a breakthrough. It was in the end of January where I finally was like, all right, God, I understand that during this season of my life, this didn't happen, but I believe one day, God, it will. Don't come to me with tips or anything, guys, after this. I'm trusting God. But God is good, and even though he didn't fulfill that desire or need at that point in time, my worship should never stop, right? My worship shouldn't be dependent. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to steal Sam's, so Sam's going to come up, but my worship should keep going, amen? And I want you to know that when you sing that song, it is well. If it's not well, guess what? Start singing and let it sink in and let those tears fall, because God, we might not understand those tears. I might not understand what you're going through, but you're singing it and you're like singing it as well. And in your heart, you're like, God, it's not well, but I need it to be well. But right now it's not, and they're singing it, so I'm singing it. But in my heart, God, in my spirit, I'm telling you, I need help to know that it's going to be well at this moment in time. So let Sam take over real quick, and he's gonna close you out. But amen. That's my story.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory be to God. Amen. Heart of worship. Your worship doesn't change despite your circumstances, but your worship should remain the same. This shows the true heart, the true heart of a worshiper. If we go to Acts 16, chapter 16, verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Amen. What stuck to me here was around midnight. How many people know that God works right there in the midnight hour? It's when you are so desperate that you have absolutely no idea what you're going to do next, where God comes and says, boom, here you go. There's been times where I tell Kat, I think God enjoys leaving us dangling like that to the last second, because he wants to see how we're going to react. Are we going to be like, God, I believe that you're going to do this. I believe that you got this. Or are we going to fall into a straight out panic and try to fix things on our own? God is there all the time. He is there in the midnight hour. He is there despite your circumstances, despite what the situation is. Here, Paul and Silas, they landed in prison because there was a woman who was following them who was demon possessed, and she kept uttering these words, and after a point it got on Paul's nerves and he rebuked it, and the lady was healed. Now what they didn't know, or maybe they did, but it didn't matter, that this woman used those powers as a source of business, because she was able to foretell the future and stuff. And so when the owners of the slave woman lost her powers, that was a loss of income. And so right away they arrested Paul and Silas for, and they made up all of this ridiculous excuses as to why they were arrested and what they were doing. And so they found themselves in jail. But what I find interesting is that I've never been to jail. I don't plan to go to jail anytime soon. But if I was in jail, I think the last thing on my mind would be to be singing or to be worshiping. I would probably be asking for my phone call or something. I would probably be in a little corner shaking, crying, because I'm in this situation. But we see here that Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Just like Kat, I too come from a family of musicians and singers. My mom, my dad, we all play an instrument or we sing. And this was something that we've always done together. We were the worship group in my previous church as well. And so this was something that's very comfortable to me. Unlike standing up here right now, this is stepping outside of my comfort zone. And so I thank you, co-pastor. I thank you so much. But this was something that was that came naturally to us, amen. And just like King David had a heart of he had a heart of a worshiper. He was a musician. He played the lyre. His music was so anointed that it was even able to calm the soul. It was able to calm the king down when he was going through his anger and his depression and his frustration. But this worship also helped David himself, King David. If we go to Psalms chapter 63:7, verse 7 and 8, it reads, "Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me." Now, what you need to understand here is when he said these words, he was going through some pretty tough times. For you see, his son, Prince Absalom, had revolted against him and was trying to kill him, was trying to take him out. And so King David fled into the wilderness of Judah. And so he hid in Judah, and it was during this time where his life was literally in danger, where the only thing that he could cling on, he didn't have the resources that he once had when he was in the kingdom, in the castle or whatever you want to call it. But he didn't have any of that. Now all he had was worship. Amen. There may come a time in our lives that your worship is all you have. Amen. When your world is falling apart around you and your friends and your family can't or won't help, all you have is your worship. And there's nothing God loves more than seeing you worship despite your circumstances. There's nothing God loves more when he sees you in your pain and in your suffering. There is nothing God likes more, loves more, than to see that you can still focus on God and still reach out to him despite your circumstances. Amen. Amen. This, it's worship. worship that has gotten me through the toughest of times. In 2008, most people may remember that as the year that the Giants won the Super Bowl. I remember 2008 as the day that God took my mom home. I don't share this story too much because but my mom, you know, she lost her battle with cancer, and I remember being in the hospital room and you know, sitting there in their little waiting area, and I got up, and you see, and there's people there cheering on and all excited. And I'm saying to myself, how can you people be all excited right now when my mom is in that room passing away? You know, you fall into this thing where you think, you know, you should all be suffering along with me. You shouldn't be happy right now. You should all be suffering along with me. And I would stay, you know, the family, me, my brother, my dad, we wouldn't leave her side for anything. And so I remember that evening, we had family that flew in from Florida, and we had all, and the room was crowded, and we had all these people, and our family was telling us, go home. You've been here for days. Go home. Get some rest. Take a shower. Go home. And so me and my dad, we went home, you know, despite we didn't want to, but you know, they convinced us to go home. And I remember we went home, we were getting ready to go to bed, we were resting. I was getting ready to shower up, and I took the phone with me into the bathroom, because I said, if that phone rings, I want to be the one that picks it up. So I took the phone with me, and I'm showering, and the phone rang. And that hot water could not be hot enough. I was shivering in that shower, despite the fact that I had that cranked all the way to the max. And I picked up that phone, and it was my brother on the other line, and he had told me, you know, mom's passed. And I was like, okay, all right. And so, you know, I get out of the, you know, I finish my shower, I get out of the shower, I go go to my dad, and my dad's looking at me, he sees the phone in my hand. And I run to him, I go to him, and I'm like, we gotta go back. Mom passed away. And I don't know what came over me that moment, because there were so many emotions running through me at that moment. The only thing that came out, the only thing that came out was worship. And I held on to my dad, and we just started to worship. Worship God despite the circumstances. Worshiping God despite the fact that we had the faith that he was going to heal her, but he chose not to. And that's okay. See, because sometimes we feel that God has to answer your prayers because, you know, she was a good woman. She was not a, you know, she was a faithful woman. You should have healed her. But see, you have to remember that sometimes God's plans are not your plans. Amen. There are sometimes that his ways are not your ways. And you have to remember that God is in control despite of the pain, despite of the loss. And so when we got back, after our worship, we went and we said our goodbyes and all. But the point of this story is that God is in the midst of your worship. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't, you know, it, You may be going through something right now that you haven't told anybody. You might be going through something right now that's so painful and so that you just want to keep, you know, you don't want nobody to know. You want to keep it to yourself because it's just easier that way, or so you think. But I want to let you guys know today that when you worship, you are inviting God's peace. You are inviting God's, you know, peace and his mercy. And believe me when I tell you that when those times, those rough times come, if you just turn on your favorite worship song, if you just stop what you're doing for one moment and just turn on your worship music and just meditate in God's word and just meditate in that worship. Believe me when I tell you that God is going to move in your life. God is not going to just leave you there, but God is going to move you. God is going to move in that circumstance. Amen. And so, to wrap up, amen, worship, praise God, worship. Worship is awesome. Worship is great. Worship is incredible, Lord. Without worship, I don't know where I would be. I actually had that thought once, and I shared it with Kat. I actually had that thought once where I said, you know what? If it wasn't for worship, I don't know who I'd be. Because, you know, I'm not the kind of guy with a list of amazing gifts and talents that I can do. I'm just a regular guy. Music has always been my anchor, has always been the thing that keeps me going. And without worship, I don't know where I would be. And so worship is an incredible, amazing part of my life. And I invite and I welcome all of you to worship as well. If it's something you're uncomfortable with, it's okay, because, you know, just step out of that comfort zone. Believe me, God will meet you the rest of the way. He's not going to leave you dangling there. God will meet you the rest of the way. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so I'll have the pastor here. Amen.
Let's do just that. Let us stand. Begin to just worship. Because of the God that we serve, we want to close in letting God know that He is the object of our worship. So glad that Jesus, you died on the cross for each and every one of us. You made it so that we have access to the Father. For you have declared in your word, no one can come to the Father except through you. And we're so glad that your truth have come to and have set us free from our own thoughts and ways of doing things, in our own way of trying to approach you. We have found that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the light. You're not only the life, but you are the light of the world. And Lord, we recognize that, so we come to you in worship. And we want to give you the worship that's due your name. So I want you, just for 30 seconds, to give God some real worship. To give God some praise. Come on. Oh Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you. Because you're awesome. You're a mighty God. You're all succumb, God. You are a great God. You're the deliverer. You're the healer. You're the restorer, God. Without you, we could do nothing. And with you, things. Come on, worship Him. Oh, you're worthy, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of honor. You're worthy of glory. We give you the glory, God. We lift our eyes. We lift our hands. We lift our voices and give you the praise. Give you the glory. For you alone are worthy. Bless your name, oh God. Bless your name. For your name is above every name. It's above every name. There's no other name. No other name. No other name. Thank you, Jesus. 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 We not only thank you for what you've done, not only for what you're doing, but for what you're gonna do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're gonna do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Glory to God. For your glory, for your honor, for your praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, Lord, we just thank you. And we give you the praise. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence. Let your presence go with us as we leave this place and as we go to our various areas. God, you go with us, in us. Use us for your glory. Speak through us, Lord. Use us, Lord, to speak forth your word. Let others be blessed because we are blessed by you. Glory to God. Now may the Lord watch over you. May the Lord bless you. May he bless your going out and your coming in. May he bless your rising up and your lying down. May he bless the works of your hand and the fruit of that labor, O God. And may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable, O Lord, in your sight. Now, will you say this with me? May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. If I don't see you again, I will meet you in the air. Father, bless each and every one of them. We'll continue to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All leaders.